so good.
No, it's just like...
good.
Sitting here together naked on Grant's living room floor.
Feels so good.
Just feels so connected.
Feels so connected.
See the dog hair, the dog hair, the dog hair, the dog hair,
the dog.
And like this delicious beer from Palmdale.
Palmdale.
Staring outside at the half alive wine. I mean,
prickers.
Grapes. And I'm just thinking about wine and how much I'd like to have some another time, though. Because I'm drinking beer now. Beer now.
Be here now.
Be here
now. Be here now.
Be here now.
Be here now.
Be here now.
Be here now.
Be here now. Thank you.
remember the words, the number they say.
It's so real.
My heart is so small.
It's so tiny.
Why do I say the wrong thing? Why can't I remember anyone I met? Why is it sometimes I'm feeling with confidence and other times I'm like a fly? Hiding in a shoe. Hoping I won't have to talk to you, but you'll still think I'm cool. Why do I say the wrong thing? Why can't I remember anyone I met? Why is it sometimes I'm feeling with confidence and then it tends to like a fly? Hiding in a shoe. Hoping I won't have to talk to you, but you're still think I'm we'll be right back.
So young and you're so old. This is my dog. history.
This is how it ends at Born on a Train every night. The wrestling match that is sleep.
What do you think it means to him?
I think it's like, I always picture kids being like, it's like they have to give up. They're like, I don't want to give up. They're like, I'm not going to stop doing stuff today. And then like, they're like, like, okay. And then they conk right out. Well, you'd be surprised. You put him down, next minute he's out. So all the things I worry about as an adult where I'm like, oh man, if the light's on, oh, if my phone's close to me, I'm going to check it. Or like, I can go to my computer, I'm going to check it. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. He's just like, oh, I'm in a bed. Like, he's out right away.
I'm like that.
You're blissfully happy then. You just...
I don't you go to sleep like pretty quickly?
I could fall asleep reading instructions. Yeah. Once I'm in bed,
yeah.
I fall asleep immediately. So like that were children.
I love sleeping.
The problem is if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because you start worrying about stuff, but you're not even actually worrying about the thing that's actually worrying you. You're just having a dream about like having to stack plates and you just can't stack them.
And you don't know what that means.
Yeah, like, and it's just anxiety about taxes.
My dream last night about my magnesium mining.
Oh,
remember? I told you about that.
Wait, what?
I had a dream of that. I was a magnesium miner, and I had the ability to like from an airplane to see
magnesium.
See magnesium in the ground.
Man, you had this dream while you had a dream while you were camping too, which is extra weird.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, I feel like.
Yeah, camping dreams are weird.
Because you're already in a weird environment, and then you're like, I have never successfully slept good enough while camping to get into REM sleep. I feel like I'm always at a weird half aware, like there's a rock in my back, or like.
No, but the best is if you get like really lucid dreams in that situation. Like we camped by the ocean, and I dreamt that this huge wave came and swept us up, and like we were flying in the air in this like canopy tent bed, and then I knew sort of that it was a dream, but it felt really, really real. Plus, I could hear the ocean.
Yeah, it's backed up by reality, so that's kind of crazy. So let's talk about the reality of Bloody Death Skull as a organization, as a group, as a moniker for your songwriting or for everyone's songwriting, for group endeavor.
I do most of the songwriting, but all the other stuff kind of brings the like, it gives you the like context for understanding the story. I think everybody sounds. So, like, those things are just as important, is what I'm trying to say.
How would you describe the interaction? How many other people interact with you? What's the makeup of the band on a typical night or on an atypical night? Or what's the extremes?
I'd say it varies from, like, around 2 to 12 people at any given point. And a lot of times I don't know who exactly is going to show up at the show, but I ask everyone and hope for the best. Right. And like sometimes that means that like 9 people will show up, or that means that like 4 people show up or no people show up. And I have their instruments set up and they don't come. That happened once. But it was kind of cool. It was sort of like playing with ghosts. Remember?
You just run around to all the instruments.
That was at the Smell when Gerard didn't show up, but I like had the keyboard set up, and Beth didn't show up, but Donna came, and it was like the three of us, and there was this really weird atmosphere, like because everyone was really far away in the shadows, and I was like talking about the people that weren't there, and they didn't know anything about us, so they're like, I don't know, it was so strange. But that's cool, too. I like that.
Yeah, you got to hold on to that stuff. I mean.
I like those types of experiences.
How do you see Bloody Death Skull as a live band as opposed to a recording band?
Well, I think that the two things, like, part of it, because of the way the nature of Bloody Death Skull really started, which we showed you a little bit of today, which was, like, it was actually, like, me and Gerard, who wasn't here, but we would just, like, start playing, and I would like make lyrics, and that was the song. Like whatever it was, like that was the song. So it's like in that way we started as a recording project that would not necessarily be able to or need to like be reproduced, you know?
Right.
But as things go, like because of I guess like my like interest in the performative aspects of the music or whatever, having the live thing, like performing it live, is like a whole other, it's a whole other experiment or whatever. And another way of experimenting with the songs, because there's, even when it's like rehearsed, there is still a big element of surprise. Mm-hmm. But it's just another way of exploring that.
And how do you attribute costumes and the general playfulness of your guys' live act usually?
Well, that's all the, that's all of it. That's everything. Like, yeah. It's about being, it's about playful, like anything that like.
I mean, it's from costumes to instrumentation, even, I mean, to some degree.
Yeah, like, I think that the more, like, it's just, it's all about play. And, like, but taking play really seriously. Like, you know, we have, you know, it's important that everyone wears the, like, in the theme. You know? But, like, you take the play seriously. Like, you're not going to, like, we're, it's, like, I remember there was something I learned at CalArts, like, I don't remember what class I was in or whatever, but we read, like, all this stuff about, like, theories about play, like, playing in writing or whatever, like, and stuff, and art, and so, like, this theoretical or critical approach to, like, playing, to me, I think, must have, like, really struck a chord, like, that you could take play really seriously.
Right. It's not just fucking around or like not
like
caring or
there's a it's a critical idea about art. Yeah.
That's rad. what do you guys
I think the whole thing about the idea about seriousness of play is the awareness of that it's a moment, you know? That it's just like, whoa, that happened. Ah,
right.
And kind of being celebratory of it,
yeah.
You know?
Well, but, and also, like, you know, I'm interested when people come and say that they're like, oh, I saw this band and I felt like I was in kindergarten. And, like, the fact that, like, I could be singing about, like, prostitutes and, like, whores and, like, you know, blood and that everyone kind of feels like a child is an interesting element to me, like
they're not listening to the words, they're
they
approaching,
they're
approaching
like
the sound of what you're doing.
They approach the sound, and that might also enable you to like think about those ideas in a different way, or like to consider them at all.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Oh, my dog is on my shoulder. So cute.
Instagram alert. What is in the future for Buddy Desco?
Well, we're trying to record right now. Like, We are recording more stuff, and like to make another release. Like, we put out a couple releases, and like, but to do, we're gonna try one like in an actual studio type of situation. So that's kind of what's going on right now. And then, I mean, I have certain ideas like about things that I want to do, like in terms of like what themes we do, or like what kind of level of amount of humans are on the stage, and
right,
like stuff like that. Those are like real goals. But, and I'm also trying to finish this music video, stop motion video, that I've been working on for several months, of dolls and Barbies sort of stuff.
That's awesome. I mean, is it
a
Buddy Death Skull thing?
Yeah.
Like, okay, track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be a video for Sky Ferreira. You heard it first.
Zing.
Born on a Train. 98.7 FM.
Woof. Lancaster. Ow!
Coming to you from Starbucks live.
Is it W-O-O-F?
That's good. K-Woof.
I think best to talk about
K,
her.
The K-Pack.
The K-Pack.
Actually, very close to here is Palmdale, our town to the south, and I went to pick up a cub one time, and I drove past where the train tracks are there, and the train went by, and a pack of wild dogs howled at the train. And it was like a pack of wolves. It was like 20 dogs. Whoa. It was right by where I was driving, and it was totally weird. And I was like, there's got to be wolves in this town. And they're like, no, it's just dogs. Crazy wild dogs. I mean, this is where people dump dogs, I guess. But yeah,
if you allowed wild dogs to have an island, they would create an entire, like, you know, society and stuff. Like,
wild
dogs
are.
Yeah, I read a lot of stuff about dogs, like in the early days, like in the pirate days. I was reading about pirates. But it was,
I know,
like,
about dogs.
These islands that, like, these dogs were, they were kind of, like, running.
50 years later, they're still walking on four legs.
No. But anyway, but then one time in Compton, I saw dogs wait for a light to change
Compton
to cross
dogs.
The street.
Oh, what about the Russian dogs, where they ride on trains, they ride on subways to get to different locations.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think that they could figure out that.
You know all the subway stops? Seen that video.
Oh, man. When I see a dog order weed online, then that's where
I
draw the line.
I'd like to see them do anything with the computer.
Yeah. Like, oh, I don't have thumbs. Oh, man. Damn it. Damn you, Tiki. I don't know. Well, let's speak to you as Diana, as song or show promoter and show creator. What do you have in the works next?
Oh, I have a few cool things going on. I'm gonna do another Deserted at the Palms music festival or whatever. I call it a music festival, but it's really like just a big party with a lot of bands. But it's a music festival, and it's also not.
It's like a breakdown at the Palms Bar.
Yeah, it's kind of like everyone broke down at the Palms, and we had a music festival. We're like, well, we have this PA and this really talented sound man, and someone has $1,000 to pay him, so let's just do a music festival. And that's kind of what it feels like. But it's a really good party.
I have to say, I love the sound guy who does the outside stuff.
He's great.
He's right on. Like,
hopefully he'll come back. Hire him and get me a discount. But yeah, so I have that. And then we're going to do a party at HM157 in June. Oh, Dessert at the Palm is May 21st. And it's at the Palms, in 29 Palms. And there'll be, a wonderful... Oh, future's breathing on my neck. But, and then, and then the HM157 show. And that's what's up right now.
Just had an Elvis show?
I had an Elvis tribute show. This year's, season has been like a really, really amazing, fruitful tribute show season for me of all my tribute seasons of my life. It comes from like a deep affection for karaoke or something, but I do a lot of tribute shows, and this year I did a tribute to girl groups of the 60s with you.
Boom.
At Human Resources. And then I did an Elvis tribute show at the Echoplex. And then I did a David Bowie tribute show at the Echo. And that's like, within those three shows, that's like 45 bands.
Nuts. Like,
that's crazy.
I mean, the David Bowie thing was probably sudden, but.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Can't resist it. I'm passionate about it. Everybody gets it.
There's a solid faction of people that get it. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't love music, you don't listen to music. And if you listen to music and love music, you inevitably love a tribute show.
But in there was also the desert. Days or desert
at the Palms.
Desert at the Palms.
Yeah.
Sorry, strike that other name. Desert at the Palms. That is not just a tribute show.
No,
that's just a true love of music and a really good judgment of what's really good in bands today. I think.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of thought goes into it, and I don't know. Kind of like you try to think of the bands that not only that you love them, but that it would be interesting to see them in that environment and like what that, how that might affect them too. Like,
yeah, test them out, see if they can come to it, you know?
And they do. And like the results are amazing. Like Black Bananas last year was the craziest.
Nut
I couldn't even understand what was happening. Yeah. I was like, is this music? But it was.
But even a band like, I think a band like Feels was
Feels
like,
was amazing.
They were kind of weird in that zone, but good. They all stepped to it. And then, and Kim and the Created, they were stuck in that room. And
they were really good. Yeah. Like, you know, like to see, to for a band, like to put a band in like a really weird, busted up saloon environment, like with a piano in the corner and like a bunch of tables and stuff. And the stage is like small. And then they're just like, okay, I could do this.
Well, I feel like most of those bands must have come from that lineup. You know, they must have been used to that before. And it's like, oh, I know this. Like, I'm just going to be a little smaller and I'm not going to ask for my water. And
I feel
I'm going to play a show and do it, you know.
But it's prettier than that. It's not so like grimy. It's like, you know, it's like the art of it, I think. I think it's like considering the art of the like weird bar.
It's a little grimy.
It's
just
like
dusty.
Sentimental. It's not like, oh crap, we're playing this place. It's
but Dessert at the Bombs has $2 PBRs or something, whatever. It's like the beers are super cheap and the music's
the
good
really
and the
good.
Food's really good.
And the outdoor food is really good.
They'll barbecue shit right there, like right on the spot.
I don't know. I feel like if you choose to do an event at a place like that where the conditions aren't going to be perfect, it's like going to be like dry and like hot and like everything's going to be like a little bit like weird, it's because that's what you want the experience to be and how great an experience like that can be. So that's what's important to me to communicate about it.
And those the people that run that venue offer so much more to the table too. I mean, they offer places for people to stay, camp there, like
free camping.
Yeah, that place is legit. That fest is legit.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming out.
Yeah.
Any final words? Anything else you want to say, Beth?
I love it here.
Hey,
thanks for having us.
It's a little couch, but.
Starbucks.
Nice.
That's all I have to say.
Ooh, that last bit was cut. Sorry, but